Oh, good morning, everyone. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that your Spirit would be working through this word as we unpack 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Lord, its implications for us, each one of us, I pray that you would stir, and what sort of response you want from us, Lord, that you would bring, so that we would all be growing more like Jesus, and as a church working together, we would present a clear picture of him to our community. Amen. Well, friends, a couple months ago, I was given a wood plane, and it was a bit knocked around, a bit beat up, a bit of scale of rust on it. And I looked at it, and it's a Stanley plane. I thought, oh, I think this will be worth doing up. So when I got it at home, I pulled it all apart, and I cleaned all the dirt off, got some sandpaper, and give it a good old scrub, and got all the rust off, pulled the handles off, and refurbished them. Reground the blade because it had a big curve in it. A plain blade's supposed to be dead flat, otherwise it's useless. Reground it, resharpened it, and put it all back together again. You've been wondering what this is, aren't you? Haven't you? Yeah. And eventually, we ended up with this, and in my last holidays, I used it to plane some timber, and it works a treat. And I was very, very happy about that. Restoration is about bringing something back to its original purpose. Yes? Last Sunday, Pastor Noel's excellent message shared on how God's restoration plan is to restore humanity back to God's original purpose. We see it clearly in the ministry of Jesus, his healing, his setting people free. But it's ultimately in Jesus' resurrection that we have the guarantee that God will complete his restoration in us. Yes? Okay? Because we are joined to him. At the right time, writes Paul, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. In the book of Revelation, God says, "Behold, I am making everything new." And friends, we're part of that. Question. Since Jesus went up to heaven and ascended to heaven, how does God accomplish his restoration plan in this world? It's not a trick question. How does God do it? Through us. Through his people, his body, his church. And today we see how God gives us spiritual gifts so we can participate with God in his restoration work in this world. Okay, first of all, what are spiritual gifts? Here's a definition I've put together. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every follower of Jesus to bless others. Friends, it's only believers or followers of Jesus who have spiritual gifts, because guess what? If you confess Jesus is my Savior from sin and Lord of my life, the Holy Spirit has done a number on you. The Holy Spirit has created faith in your once dead hearts in Jesus, and Jesus has come to live in your heart by his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives at least one gift to every believer so that we might together participate in God's restoration plan. Sometimes God gives people a new spiritual gift when they get converted, when they first become Christians. Sometimes God gives a new gift to his children who've been Christians for a while for a particular ministry calling that he wants them to do. Like, I'm calling you to do this and I'm going to give you the gifts to do it. Sometimes believers receive a new spiritual gift as God's answer to prayer. But oftentimes, I think this is what happens. We've got a natural gift or a talent or ability that is now brought under the authority of Jesus, and he works through it to bless others. Are you with me, friends? So every Christian has a spiritual gift to help others. No Christian misses out. If you were here last week, remember you were given at the door? You were given a swatch when you came in. Everyone received one. And that's how it is with God. He gives each one a special gift, or more than one. And as we love and serve others with those gifts, God's restoring word happens in other people's lives. Now, here's the thing. When you were given this swatch, you were all given different colours, yes? All right, now, here's the thing. In God's wisdom, he does not give us all the same gift. Paul writes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in them all. Note the word different. Friends, if you've had more than one child, you would know that each one is profoundly different, yes? They just come out that way, right from the get-go. Honestly, we've just got two and they're different. Delightful. I've got to say that. One of them is here at the Sully. But it's the same in God's family, friends, hey? All God's children are loved and treasured equally, yes? But every single one is different in personality, in natural abilities, in interests and passions, and in spiritual gifts. Now, every Christian is called to serve the cause of Christ, but your spiritual gifts show you how or in what specific way. If you are filled with compassion, you get a sense in your guts whenever you see someone struggling, guess what ministry God wants you to have? One of care or mercy. If you are an encourager, if you've got the gift of encouragement, your ministry is to encourage and build people up with your words. If you love to tell everyday people about Jesus, guess what your ministry is? Evangelism. Friends, if you've got the gifts of helps and service, then exercise that gift as faithfully and as diligently as you can. There are several spiritual gift lists in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. I don't think those gifts are exhaustive. Those lists are examples. Next Sunday, Pastor Noel is going to talk about the broad categories of those spiritual gifts mentioned in the Bible. But today we want to look at the purpose of those gifts and how God wants us to use those gifts together to get his work done in the world. Is that okay with you? Okay, what are the purpose of spiritual gifts? I think there's three main ones. And the first is to meet human needs. And in this, I can't do any better than Timothy Keller, who writes, "There is no human need, spiritual, physical, psychological, or relational, that doesn't have some spiritual gift that can address it." See, some spiritual gifts heal us when we're wounded. Some spiritual gifts encourage us when we're downcast. Some spiritual gifts challenge us when we're lagging, or correct us when we're going astray, or love us when we're being rejected, or just inform us when we're ignorant. There is no human need that doesn't have some spiritual gift that can address it. Jesus has all the ministry abilities to communicate truth, to bear burdens, to give directions. He has all. We get a portion of his ministry ability to meet needs. Oh, I love the way that guy writes. Jesus has got it all. He gives, allocates to meet needs. The second thing is to share the love and good news of Jesus. I would hazard a guess that most of us came to know Jesus because some genuine Christians in somewhere along our lives loved us, respected us, helped us at various times, and kept pointing us to Jesus. Yes? You know, I might have been a parent, might have been a teacher, might have been some sort of mentor or a friend. Friends, spiritual gifts are ways that people can encounter Jesus, because get this, as we go about taking an interest in them and serving them with the things God's given us to be good at, we look for opportunities to tell them what Jesus means to us. It builds bridges. And over those bridges, we look for opportunities to talk about Jesus. And the third thing, to grow people into Christ-likeness. Noel said this last week, I think. When spiritual gifts are exercised rightly, the result in the recipient of the ministry is growing into the likeness of Jesus. But wait, there's more. Because here, get this, as you serve with the love of Jesus, you too are growing in Christ's likeness. And if we are all doing that together, it grows the body of Christ. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of this time looking at, because we want to answer the question, how do spiritual gifts work together? And the image that we have in the New Testament is the body of Christ. It's a great picture to describe how followers of Jesus go about God's work together. I've got five fabulous points on this. And the first is this, under the headship of Jesus. Let me ask you the question, who is head of the body? Jesus, yes? Jesus is the head of his body. And without Jesus, get this, there's no gospel, no forgiveness, no grace, no church, no body, no ministry, no restoration plan, no hope, no future. Jesus, he's the reason. He's our source and saviour. He's our Lord and Master. He is our life and destiny. When we confess Jesus is Lord, do you know what we're saying? We're saying that Jesus is the one who calls the shots for our lives. We march to the beat of Jesus' drum. We take our directions from him as the head in what we believe, in how we live, in how we serve, in how we get on with each other, and how we go about exercising our spiritual gifts. Who's the head? Jesus. Who is Lord? Jesus. It's all about him and his work in this world. Number two, one body, many members, put together by God. Paul keeps banging this home. One body, one team, one organic reality that we are all part of. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. One body. And later on he says, yeah, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. In this one body, friends, we all belong to Christ. But a body is made up of a heap of parts, yes? Different parts. And those different parts have different functions or ways they contribute to the life and health of the body. And that's the way God made it. That's the way God made it. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. He wanted them to be. God gives gifts and he brings those gifts together in a group of people, just as he wanted them to be. When you were allocated this, you all got different ones, right? And in the same way, God gives different gifts to different people so we can work together for his purposes. Now, when you realize that it's God who gives the gifts and God brings them together, there's no room for arrogance or pride in the body of Christ. You know, in Australian culture, we're always competing with each other, always looking over our shoulder, going, oh, they're better than me, they're worse than me. We're trying to find our pecking order. No, we're all equally loved. We're all equally children of God. Forget about this rivalry and jealousy and backbiting. Go, I wish I could be more like them. No, you just be who you are. Now, none of this sort of pride and arrogance going, well, I've got the gift of healing. What's wrong with you? I've got the gift of speaking in tongues. Don't you have that? No pride, no arrogance, no looking down your nose at others, and likewise, no shame about those gifts that aren't so obvious. Now, none of this saying, oh, my only gift is listening to people. Oh, the only gift I have is fixing things. No! No! Every part in the body is there because God wants it to be there, and every part plays a part in His restoration plan because they all meet needs. They all meet human needs. All right, number three. Each part is needed. Paul says, all of you form the one body of Christ, and each one is a separate and necessary part of it. You know, each part is needed in the body because each part has a unique function. Friends, you, each one of you, can do something better than every other person in this room. Each one of you can do something better than every person in this room because that's the way God made you, and that's the way God has arranged us. If God has called you into this congregation, Good Shepherd, it's because you and your gifts are needed here. If you're not exercising your spiritual gifts, it impacts the rest of us in some way. Here in our Good Shepherd community, just imagine how things would be if no one ever dealt with the rubbish. You know, when the rubbish guy goes past, I thank God every time my bin gets emptied. Because after a few weeks, that'd be pretty nasty. Imagine what would happen if no one paid the utilities bills. No lights, no sound, no air conditioning, no fans. Or if no one followed up on maintenance. Things would be falling apart everywhere. Imagine what this congregation would be like if no one cared or prayed for one another. Imagine how many people would be feeling isolated if they weren't part of a small group and without those who lead those groups. What would our worship gatherings look like without welcomers, without ushers, without people who prepare communion, without the tech team, without the musicians, without the visual arts, without the pastors? Well, that might be a good thing for a couple of weeks. They're good for us. We could go fishing or something. And imagine what it would be like without every one of you. There's something amazing that happens when God's people come together. God's always been gathering His kids together around Himself so He can go to work through them. God has given us all gifts to bless others and build up the body of Christ. If I don't use my gift, you will get cheated. And if you don't use your gift, the rest of us get cheated. Without you, the picture of Jesus that we portray to our community somehow is lacking. It's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. You know when you do a jigsaw puzzle and at the end of it there's a few pieces missing? That's what it's like. Friends, every part of the body is needed here to represent Jesus, to be Good Shepherd's presence of Jesus in our community. Number four, the whole body cares for all parts of the body. Hey, have you ever stubbed your toe against, you know, the end of your bed or a cupboard or something? What happened immediately next? Probably a few naughty words. I confess I'm probably the worst in that. But after I sort of go beep, 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 I'm going, oh, I shouldn't be saying that. Afterwards, what happens? Well, you look at the damages. And you got a big cut there and it's bleeding. You get some Dettol out and clean it up and maybe put a bit of a Band-Aid on it, and we'll just watch it over the next few days. Because by caring for your toe, your body benefits, yeah? Because if that toe gets infected, do the maths. A few weeks later, you're walking around like a cripple. Friends, in the same way, Paul emphasizes care and concern for all the parts of the body. He says, God has put the body together. Note he says that again. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I think he's talking about solidarity. A sense that we're on this journey together. No matter what we're going through, good times and bad times, When one part of the body is struggling or injured, we don't amputate. No, the rest of the parts rally together to care for it, to minister first aid, to watch over it, to help it heal. And that's how the body stays strong. Number five, no inactive members of the body. Friends, what happens? What happens to muscles if they are not exercised? No, I know you work hard. It atrophies, it wastes away, yes? And if there is no exercise whatsoever, in the end it becomes useless. It doesn't work like it's meant to, yes? Friends, that's what can happen to us spiritually if we just keep taking in, consuming and using and never use our gifts in service to others. Friends, if we reach that point, we are actually rejecting God's call for our lives, and as a result, we don't grow, we atrophy. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, or the word for handiwork can mean, the word is poema, poem or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me cite Timothy Keller again, because he unpacks this magnificently. To each is given a gift. You are God's workmanship. There are certain things you and only you alone can do. And if you in God's providence are here, then the rest of us need you, or you wouldn't be here. God doesn't waste people. He doesn't waste assets like the rest of us do. Therefore, it is absolutely crucial that we embrace the theology of spiritual gifts, that there be no unemployed or passive Christians. Friends, Jesus demonstrated and Jesus taught it that our purpose in life is to bring glory to God by serving others. That's the purpose of life. And Peter urges us to use our gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So as we go about it, God's grace is getting tipped over to other people and one another, and the body grows. Friends, let me ask you a question. What gift has God given you to serve others? Are you using it? Or are you wasting away? Let me tell you, friends, when you use your spiritual gifts to serve others, you will rattle and hum inside. I mean, the thrill of making a positive difference and potentially an eternal difference in another person's life is one of the greatest joys this side of heaven. Friends, you will gain a clearer sense of God's hand in your life, and not only will you bless others, but you too will grow in Christ likeness. Friends, let's wrap this up. God's restoration plan is brilliant. God allocates spiritual gifts throughout his body, and that's how he gets his restoration work done in the world. And as every one of us exercises our spiritual gifts, countless people will be blessed. Church life will be fun, and the body of Christ will grow in faith, hope and love, and I believe numbers. I pray that God would do that with us and through us all. And the people of God said, Amen.